Our message this morning is entitled, Blessed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your incredible blessings in our lives. We thank you for your awesome love for each of us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here for this time, for this day, that we might seek after you and learn of your ways and be encouraged in our faith. Lord, we ask for a special blessing this morning from your Spirit. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and guide us in the way of holiness. Guide us, Lord, in the way of love and of your truth. For this we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Recently, the Generation of Youth for Christ conference was held in Texas. How many of you heard about that? The GYC, you've heard about GYC. Some people from our congregation attended. I did not get a chance to attend this year, although I would have enjoyed it. I've been to a number of other ones in the past. My wife and I went onto the internet, and we were able to find some of the messages that were recorded. I always do video recordings of the different sermons. And I know some of our people here went, and they recommended to us some of the messages to watch. And there was one shared by a professor at Weimar Institute. I think he's kind of new there. His name is Dr. Fadidis. And he is from Rwanda. And he shared his testimony, his story, his journey of how God delivered him through the crisis of the genocide in 1994 that happened there in Rwanda. There were the majority party and tribe, the Hutus, who had declared death to all of the Tutsis, this other tribe in Rwanda, and they began killing them and slaughtering them. For 100 days, the slaughtering continued. And so these ones who were in power, they were just going and killing everyone they could find, and even Adventists were there. And many of them decided to side with their tribes instead of their faith, and even were killing each other. And this man who shared his testimony, he was a Tutsi. He was one of the people being hunted down for killing. And so he shared his experience, he shared his story. He was one out of a family of about 32 people. He was the only one that survived in his family. But it wasn't an accident that he survived, and it wasn't luck that he survived by. It was a miracle that he survived by. It was most certainly the work of God that delivered him. There's no other answer for how he was delivered through that trial. You know, it was the blessing of God that saved him. He shared a sermon entitled Preaching from the Grave, and he told his story, and I won't tell you the whole story today, but I'll tell you some parts of it, and I recommend you go look on gycweb.org and see if you can find it. I'm sure you can, or look it up on YouTube if you know how to do that. But there are ways to see the message. Anyway, he started out his story by sharing about how he was in his home and they knew that these killers were coming. And many people who were Tutsis decided to destroy their national IDs. And the reason for that is because their tribal alignment was printed on their national ID. So if you're a Tutsi, it's on your ID. So the killers would ask to see your ID, and some of these people thought, well, we'll just destroy our IDs. But of course, that's a little bit dishonest. You're going to have to lie about it. And he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to lie. And I don't think it was working well anyway, because if you didn't have an ID, the killers would think, well, you must be a Tutsi anyway. Why don't you want to show us your ID? So he decided he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to destroy his ID. And so the killers came to his home, and they were going to execute everyone. They began killing people using machetes and axes and all sorts of horrible things. They were killing people, and they came to him. They were going to kill him, and he held up his Bible, He showed him the ID and they saw it. They said, "You're going to die. You're a Tutsi." And he held up his Bible. He said, "You know what? My ID says that, but I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. I don't just align with those tribes, but I align with God and his kingdom." And when the people, these killers, heard that, some of them kind of like were arguing, "Oh, we can't kill this guy, you know?" Something just struck them about him that they couldn't kill him. And they argued a little bit, but they decided to leave the house. And then some of them tried to come back, and he got scared, and he ran out the back door, and he jumped over the fence, and he took his Bible with him. And next thing you know, he was surrounded by a whole bunch of these guys ready to kill, like other ones. And he did the same thing, and he held up his Bible, and he said, "I'm a citizen of heaven." And they said, "What are you doing here? You get back in your house. Why are you trying to run away?" And they'd already killed everybody else in his home. And so he went, and then finally he ended up leaving from there and trying to get out of the area. So he ended up having to go through a lot of checkpoints, and he had to show his ID, and he prayed, "God, please hide their eyes so they don't see what's on my ID." And it worked. At many of the checkpoints, people just looked at the ID and they didn't see it, and they just waved him on. But then he ran into someone that caught him, and somehow through another miracle, he was let go from that. And he ran on and he came to this village where some people caught him and decided that he had to die. They said, "But you're a strong guy, so we'll make you dig your grave." And so he started with a shovel digging his grave. And then he had his Bible with him still. And so one of the killers was sitting there on the side of the grave while he's digging. He's looking at the Bible and he say, "What are all these highlights in here?" And he goes through the highlights and he asks him questions and he starts talking to him. And then the guy decides, "Wow, this guy's pretty good." And he decides that he doesn't want to kill him, but there's still a whole group that wants to kill him. So somebody jumps in and says, "I'm going to help him dig." The guy's like, "Don't help me dig. As soon as it's done, they're going to kill me." So the hole got dug, and he was praying, "Lord, Lord, you know, do something, help me." And then they decided, once he got it dug, "You know what? This is in the wrong place. Why should he be buried here? This is, you know, somebody else's property. We can't bury him here. We need to find a new site and dig a hole." And so he was spared. But before he began digging the new grave, he prayed, "God, please help me to witness to these people." And God gave him a chance to speak. And so, you know, he said, "Hey, can I share something before I dig my grave? Before you kill me, can I share something from the Bible?" And some of them were like, yeah, share with us. Another one's like, "No, he can't share with us." So they argued. And finally, it prevailed that he was able to preach. After he preached his sermon, they said, "We can't kill this man." He shared about the Adventist faith. And so, anyway, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but he was saved through this whole experience. He was finally delivered. There's a lot more to it. But what can you say about a man like this? What can you say about a person who should have been dead by all ways of looking at the situation? You don't just escape all of these things by accident, not by chance. God was working in his favor, amen? God was pulling the strings. God was blinding people's eyes. He was touching people's hearts. He was changing people's lives. And he was rescuing his servant through this whole thing. God had a special purpose for his life, to bring him to share his testimony and God's truth continually wherever he went. The blessing of the Lord attended this man. You know, there are many others that we look at in history who had God's special blessing with them. Is that true? As we look through the Bible, as we look through history, we find many lives who had an incredible blessing from the Lord, that had an incredible protection from the Lord. We see this in this modern example, and I'm sure there's many other stories of amazing deliverances where God saved his faithful people, and he had a plan yet for them to accomplish something special in this world. And so God blessed in many ways. So I want to look at this blessing. I want to look at what does it mean to be blessed, and how do we experience more of these blessings in our lives? How can we be so close with God, so thick with the Lord, that we see his blessings attend us and others can recognize God's blessings attending our lives? Isn't that an experience we'd like to have? whatever our situation. We might not be in a genocide, but we can be walking around with God's blessings in our lives. Amen? We can have the Lord's blessing. And I think of course, the Beatitudes, where Jesus shared a number of blessings. I would invite you to turn to Matthew 5. We'll briefly look at some of the blessings Jesus gave us in his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and looking there from verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Many blessings that Jesus gives. Blessed are the meek, right? Those who are humble. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? We should, amen? Do we have the humility of Christ in our mindset, in our hearts, in our lives? I know we all need more of that, more of the humility of Jesus, the meekness of Christ. Do we mourn for our sins? Do we turn and repent from our sins? Jesus says we're blessed if we do these things. If this is who we are, if we're becoming more and more like Christ, we'll be especially blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do we know our need for God? Or do we walk around saying, you know what, I don't really need the Lord that much. Or I'll just pray a little bit. I'll just seek God a little bit. Do we know that we are poor, and wretched and miserable and blind and naked? That we are poor in spirit, that we are empty without God, that we are empty without his presence? Do we feel the need and the hunger for the Lord every day when we wake up? Say, you know what, God, I need you. Jesus said that we'll be especially blessed if we are poor in spirit, if we feel our special need for God every day. We need to feel more of that need, amen? We need to have more of that hunger for the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 4. And I'll share with you another blessing text, Romans 4. After the book of Acts, our New Testament. Verses 3 through 10. Romans 4, verse 3. It says, "For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You know, he wasn't made righteous by his own works, was he? It was by the righteousness of Christ. He trusted in the Lord. He had faith. Verse 4. "Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." We're not working to obtain salvation. We're trusting in Christ who has obtained our salvation. Amen? We should be trusting in Christ who has obtained our salvation for us. We don't want debt. We want grace. Verse 5 says, "But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? If we are forgiven through Jesus Christ, we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Imagine that. We are trusting in Christ's righteousness for our salvation. Perhaps we've made a mistake. And then who do we trust to help us fix it? Are we going to fix it? Are we going to cover ourselves up and make ourselves pretty again and righteous? Or is it Jesus who's going to help us to fix it? It's Jesus. We don't say, oh, I better get myself right so I can come back to Jesus. No, get yourself to Jesus and Jesus will help you get right. Amen. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, I think of many people, and I know even in my own life, and in all of our lives, I'm sure, we've made mistakes, right? We've come short of His glory. We've come short of His character. Maybe we knew better, but who was it that helped us? Who was it that saved us? Even in that, it's Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't just throw us away because we've made a mistake, does He? When we trust in Him and His righteousness, when we come to Him, He provides forgiveness and He provides His righteousness to cover us. When we trust in Christ's righteousness by faith, then we are truly blessed. The Bible also says in Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." We want to trust in God and what He's done. Now, with those principles in mind, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1, in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some examples of people who were blessed and how they were blessed and what they experienced, what they went through. Job, chapter 1. It's always interesting for me to go back and study the lives of people who have lived before us, especially people who were close with God, amen? People who knew how to really walk with the Lord in exceptional ways. I think there's much we can learn from their lives. And so we find here in Job chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible describes this man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed or shunned evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Verse 5, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Was Job a faithful man? Absolutely. Was Job a blessed man? Absolutely. He was blessed by the Lord. In this case, he had many material blessings, but he also had spiritual blessings and protection from God in his life. He was very protected by the Lord. And the Bible says he was an upright man. One who feared God and eschewed evil or shunned evil. He said, no, I don't want any of that. If it's evil, he said no, right? Righteous people need to know how to say no, amen? We need to say no to those things, those corrupting influences that get suggested to us day by day. We need to be able to shun the evils and receive the good of Christ. Receive His truth. Receive God's word. This is how Job lived his life. And he was blessed. You know, even without his riches, he was still blessed, right? And even without all the wonderful family that he had, he was still blessed. Now, he suffered. Can blessed people suffer at times? Do we go through hardships in our lives? We suffer things in this life, don't we? And yet, can we still say, if we trust in the Lord, that we are blessed? We can, right? Job was still blessed. He hurt, he suffered, but he was blessed. This happened with Jesus, it happened with many. They suffered things in their life. They had hardships, but they were still wonderfully blessed by the Lord. And you know, I think about the heart of Job. He was really concerned for his children, wasn't he? His children were out there having a party at their home and doing all sorts of things, and Job is thinking, oh, Lord, I wonder what my children are doing. What if they're not being faithful? And so he's there praying for them. He's there offering these offerings for his children because he's concerned about their salvation. Are we praying for our children? Are we concerned what's going on in their lives? Are they honoring God? And we're just doing what we can to pray for their forgiveness, to pray for their salvation. You know, Job was doing that. In verses 6 through 8, actually let me just take it from verse 8, that'll be better. Verse 8 through 10, let's read a little bit more about Job. Same chapter, chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, dost Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was Satan's charge. You see this dialogue that goes on. The devil came up to heaven, he saw a meeting there, he started talking with God, and God said, you know what, have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen him? He's faithful to me. Have you seen him in the earth like a bright and shining lamp, right? A bright and shining witness for God, a witness for the truth. God said, that is my boy right there. That's Job. He's faithful to me. Does the Lord point to us and say, there's an example of faithfulness. There's one of my faithful servants, a bright and shining light. You know, I pray that God will do such things in our lives that he can say that about us all, right? That we will be a bright and shining light, each one of us individually and as a church corporately, that God can say, those are my people. They are wonderful, they're blessed. Job, was so faithful, the devil even knew he was blessed, right? The devil said, you know what? You've blessed Job so much. You've increased his substance. You've protected him. You've put a hedge around his house. How can he not serve you? He's so blessed. Just remove that, and then he'll curse you. But Job didn't curse, right? We know the story. And in the end, after Job suffered many things in his life, the Bible says that God blessed the latter end of Job more than at the first. Isn't that amazing? The blessedness. Oh, yes, there were hardships. Yes, there were things that he suffered in this life, as we all do. And yet, he was blessed. He was blessed by the Lord. What a wonderful story that we find in Job's life. Please turn with me to Genesis 26 to look at another faithful person. Genesis chapter 26. If you would turn there in your Bibles. Genesis 26, verses 4 through 5. Genesis 26, verses 4 and 5. And the Bible says this about Abraham. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham was blessed, wasn't he? Abraham was a man of faith. We read about that as we began our message today. He was a man of faith. He trusted God. He believed God. and he was faithful. Amen. He had faith and he was faithful. He followed the word of God. He kept God's laws and God's commandments. And God said, you know what? I've chosen you, Abraham, to send a blessing through you to all the people of the world, to all the nations of the earth, that they will be blessed through you. And today, we are the people who are the seed and the descendants of Abraham. Isn't that true? The Bible says that if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. We are the seed. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of Jesus Christ, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of God's truth, it comes through his people. It comes through his church today. The seed of faith that was seen in the life of Abraham has been passed on through the ages for thousands of years, and today it rests with God's faithful church who keeps his commandments and has the faith of Jesus. Amen? We are blessed, and not only blessed for ourselves, for our own sake, but blessed because God wants to use us to bless the world. Amen? God wants to bring a blessing to all the nations through his people. You know, God did not bless Job for Job to sit high and mighty and live a selfish life, did he? God blessed Job because he knew that Job would use those blessings to share them with others, to help other people. We see that Job did that in his life. And when God blessed Abraham, he didn't bless him to sit there and say, well, I'm saved, too bad to those other nations. No, he blessed Abraham so that he would be a blessing to all the nations. And he blessed us today with God's truth and the message of salvation in Christ so that we could also be a blessing to all the nations around us, to all the people right here in Hermiston, our next door neighbor, the person that we talk to at the counter when we're checking out with groceries. Many interactions that we have, and God has called us to be a blessing. But to be a blessing, we have to have faith. We have to be those people who follow the Lord and keep his commandments, even as Abraham did. What a wonderful example we find in Abraham. Let's turn over to chapter 30 in Genesis. Chapter 30. We're looking at verse 27. Through 30. Okay, so Genesis 30 and verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how that I have served thee, and how thy cattle were with me. For it was little which you had before I came, and it is now increased unto a great multitude, or unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house? This discussion between Jacob and Laban, his father-in-law. We see that Laban recognized many blessings in his life. And these blessings came through Jacob, who was serving the Lord, who had decided to serve the Lord. You know, when we decide to serve God, the blessings can be with us, right? When we decide to serve the Lord and we choose to be faithful and we choose to seek the Lord, the blessings of the Lord will be with us. And not only in our lives, but with those who are connected with us. Laban experienced many blessings. He says, you know what? I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you. And Jacob confirmed it. And he said, you had very little when I came, but the Lord has blessed me, and the Lord has used me, and the Lord has blessed you through my life. And then he says, you know, I also need something for my own house. God didn't bless Laban to leave Jacob empty-handed, right? God blessed Laban because of Jacob, and he also wanted to bless Jacob even more, because Jacob was going to carry the blessing of the Lord to the world through his seed, right? Through his offspring. And so the Lord especially blessed Jacob there, and Laban. The blessings rub off on others, amen? So find someone who's blessed and grab a hold of them. Don't let them go. Especially seek Jesus, because he is the most blessed of all, amen? We've got to walk with the Lord to truly experience his blessings. And so we can see that this happened throughout. I'm not going to read all the verses here in this chapter, but we can see throughout their experience together, there was a special blessing. And Laban ended up trying to change Jacob's wages 10 times. You know, the devil was working against Jacob, and God kept showing Jacob things of what to do and how to experience and get the blessing. And he ended up having all this wealth and blessing. It was because of the Lord, right? If he was out there trying to fight for himself and just get it all and get all he could, he would never have reached the level of blessing to which he reached. It was because he trusted in God that the blessings especially flowed in his life. That's awesome. He trusted the Lord and God blessed him. So Laban was trying to outsmart him. Laban was trying to harm him in different ways because he was selfish and he was an idolater and all those other things. But Jacob was faithful and worshiped God, and God just kept blessing him. No matter what his enemies were doing, God kept blessing him. Boy, I want to have those kind of blessings. How about you? Amen? We want to have those kind of blessings in our lives. I'll share with you a couple other things about Jacob. One thing is he made a covenant with God. Before he arrived at Laban's, he had an experience with God. He had a dream, and he saw heaven opened and a ladder between heaven and earth and angels going up and down on the ladder. And he said, this must be the gateway of God. And he made a decision right there. And he said, Lord, if you'll go with me, if you'll be with me and bless me, he said, I'll give you a tenth of all that I own. He made a covenant with God, and he committed himself to also paying tithe. He said, you know what, God, all this belongs to you. And I'm going to pay my tithe faithfully. And the Lord blessed him. Because he made a covenant, he made an agreement with God. And he said, you know what, this is all yours anyway, God. I'm just going to give back to you whatever I can. I'll give back to you the tenth, and I'll give back to you even more. So God just kept blessing him. It starts with a commitment, doesn't it? It starts with a covenant with the Lord, an agreement with God. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to give my life to you. We make that commitment, and then we follow through with that commitment like Jacob did. He was faithful. He did not divert to follow the ways of the world, but he kept his family pure. He kept removing the elements that the devil was trying to bring in. His family got some idols from Laban through Rachel. I'm sure you know the story. And he said, you know what? God said, recommit to the Lord. Put those idols away. They've been creeping into our house. We don't need them. That's not God's way. So they buried him under an oak tree and they left him there. All the idols, all the gold, the jewels, and all that stuff, they just got rid of it. He said, we are recommitting to the Lord. Maybe you've seen it happen, how the devil tries to bring his stuff into our lives that's not supposed to be there. Over the years, stuff's creeping in. Recommit. Recommit your life. Say, Lord, you know what? We need to put those things out. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us not to follow the world. And so he was faithful. You know, it's interesting in Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's one of the ways we're blessed, right? When we commit to the Lord and we say, God, I'm going to pay you a faithful tithe. I want your blessings. This belongs to you anyway. It's yours. So here's the tenth. Take it, Lord, and use it for your service. God blesses in that way, just like you blessed in Jacob's life. Now share another one here in Isaiah 58:13. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, to Does that sound like a blessing to you? I'll feed you the heritage of Jacob. I'll cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. That God will bless us when we choose to be faithful to him. I think it's interesting that both time and money here are consecrated to God. When we give our tithe to the Lord, we're saying, Lord, all that I have belongs to you. When we give our time to God, we say, Lord, all that I am belongs to you. And all that I can possibly do in all my time and all my life, it belongs to you. All my things and all of me belong to you. We see that through the tithe, and we see that through the Sabbath. God says, when you commit all these things to me, I will bless you. You will be wonderfully blessed. You'll have the heritage of Jacob. The blessings of the Lord will be with you. That's powerful. There are many other examples in Scripture, and the time would fail us to mention them all in perfect detail. But think about people like Joseph. It's wonderful to read the story of Joseph and look at how the Lord blessed him. And when he was sent to Pharaoh's house, when he was sent to Potiphar's house into Egypt, he became a slave there. And then Potiphar saw some blessing in him and saw some wisdom in him and said, you know what, I'm going to put you in charge of my house. And the Bible says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. Wow. God blessed. And Pharaoh recognized the blessings when Joseph was in charge. The blessings were rubbing off on, Potiphar, not Pharaoh. Later it was Pharaoh. First it was Potiphar. So there's the blessings there. God blessed his house. And then the devil was trying to attack. You know, he's always trying to attack God's people. And he sends this woman to try and get Joseph to be unfaithful. And Joseph says, no. Again, we have to say no to sin so that we can receive the blessings of the Lord. He said no. And still he got in trouble. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said, I'll bless you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so he was sent to the prison. And there he was blessed. He was in prison, but he was blessed. God said, you know what? Let's put him in charge of the prison. So he was blessed there. He got put in charge, and prisoners were blessed by Joseph's ministry. He had a prison ministry. Praise the Lord for prison ministry. Amen. And so Joseph was used there to help the other prisoners to know God. God blessed him. And then it seemed like he was never going to get out. And it seemed like he missed his one chance, and everyone forgot about him. And then God called him to Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh saw the blessing in Joseph, and he said, you know what? I'm going to put you in charge of all of Egypt. Nobody will be higher than you except for me. Second in command of all of Egypt. What a wonderful blessing that God gave in Joseph's life. But he was faithful to follow God, to follow what he said. There are many other examples we cannot go into in detail. Thinking about King David, he had many blessings in his life, although he also had some troubles. We know that Israel, unfortunately, ended up going most of the time the wrong way when we look at their history. But they had so many blessings of the Lord. And unfortunately, they lost many of those blessings because they chose to go the wrong way. But for those who remain faithful, those individuals who said, Lord, I'm not going to follow the trend. Lord, I'm not going to follow these evils. I'm going to follow you. God bless those people, those individuals who decided to follow the Lord. We have to decide. We have to commit. You think about Daniel's life. You know, the Bible tells us that he purposed in his heart to serve the Lord. He determined not to receive the corruptions of the land of Babylon. Have we purpose in our hearts? Have we determined and decided to follow the Lord? He was faithful. He was determined. He was decided. We must be those things if we want to receive the blessings of the Lord in our lives. Daniel was prayerful. He was a faithful witness. He was humble and God glorifying. He never took the credit. He never took the glory to himself. It always belonged to God. Daniel was one who praised the Lord. He thanked the Lord. And he was bold in serving God. Amen? We need to be more like Daniel too. The blessing was with him. You see it? Do you see a pattern of faithfulness and blessing going together? a pattern of humility, of prayerfulness, of searching the scriptures and living what they say. We see it repeatedly in these men's lives, that God's blessing was with them, and they were to be a blessing to the world. They were a channel of blessing, not the end, not a cesspool. They were a channel. The blessings were flowing through these people to touch the lives of many others, to be a blessing to those around. Do we want to be a channel for God, to let his blessings flow through us, that God would use us in his service and share his love through us? We need to be those bright and shining lights who will say, Lord, use me. Lord, help me to trust in you, to be faithful, to keep your word and your commandments. We see the same in the lives of the disciples, in the life of Jesus especially. We see this over and over and over again. And I want to share with you a text as we're drawing our message to a close. I'll say just a few more things, but there's a scripture I'd like us to especially look at. And this is 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we'll look at verse 9. So 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we'll look here at verse 9. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." The prophet was speaking to King Asa. Unfortunately, he missed the blessing that God wanted to give. But we don't want to miss it, do we? God's word says here that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth, searching for people in whom he can show himself strong. God wants to put his presence in our lives, his power in our lives, his blessing in our lives, and to use us to be a blessing to the rest of the earth, just like he has done with his faithful people throughout all ages, to make them channels of blessing to the world around. If God's looking for someone to be a channel, I want to be one of those channels, right? I want him to find me. I want him to find all of us, each one of us. I want the Lord to find each one of us, and that we would make those decisions in our lives to commit to Christ, to commit to his truth, to be faithful and to live for him. Is that something we especially want? I pray that that is, you know, what we really long for, what we really want, that we would be students of God's word, that we would be prayerful relentlessly, that we would seek to do great things for God, that we would be bold in mission, that we would say, Lord, what can we do for you? How can we seize this place for your name? How can we take advantage of the time that you have given us? We should be asking God how he will use us. We can do great things, right? Through God. I like what William Carey said many years ago in the 1700s. He said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." Expect great things from the Lord. Expect blessings from the Lord and attempt great things for him. Be a channel of blessing. Know that God wants to bless each of us, but he especially wants to use us in his service. With blessing comes responsibility. Okay, to whom much is given, much is required. Jesus taught that. So with blessing comes responsibility. May the Lord help us to be channels of blessing for him. Amen. Shall we stand together to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a channel of blessing. Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to work through me. I want to commit my life to you, Lord. Today, I want to commit or recommit my life to you, to receive Jesus into my heart afresh. and to be a channel of love and faith and blessing to the world around me.